No mind your nationality. You have got the identity of an African.
Welcome to Mucho African Radio Nova Scotia. My name is Nicole Johnson, your African Nova Scotia voice show host. And today we are speaking around the table and having discussions in regards to, you know, amplifying community voices and creating bridges by sharing our stories our way. Today, in collaboration with the Buddy Day Learning Institute, we are talking about African Heritage Month. Open conversations that bring together African Nova Scotians and African immigrants together. So around the table, we have Brittany, Noah, McEdwards, Jones, Tyree, and Sylvia. We will start with Eddie. What does it mean for you when you hear African Heritage Month?
Black or African Heritage Month should not be a month. It should be a celebration that goes on throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So what they're looking at doing programs throughout the year that showcases Black excellence, right? So definitely it has given us a platform. And I am happy that the stories of the Black folks have been shared and celebrated. So those are the things that I am looking forward to during this month, for sure.
What about you, young blood? What do you have to say?
I've only been here for a little over a month, so I'm still learning my ways around and learning about the community and what's not. So I'm really just excited to expand my mind on things like
this. And connect, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we connect over the kitchen table, we connect at the dinner table, we connect, you know, just in the streets even, you know. And but when we plan and purpose to be together, it's an energy that we all bring because we're just loud and celebratory and, you know, it just kind of infuses us to kind of want to be in that same space together.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the answers. I couldn't agree more.
What about you? What are you excited for?
I think like the biggest excitement that I get now is being able to work my day job in an institution, educational institution.
It's a little short, so yeah.
And for those who don't know, it's NSCC, and I kind of stepped up this year for a lot of the planning to do with African Heritage Month and being on the committee.
Right.
And it's a struggle, you know, because I feel like if we're not doing the work to bring awareness to our month, when I agree with you, you know, we're Black, you know, 365, 366 in a leap year. But I think that if we don't make it a priority to really take the time to plan things, you know, no one in their organization is going to do it for us. And we have to fight every single way. You know, I wanted to get a couple elders on a panel, and it was a lot of work to try to get approval for that and trying to find funding and, you know, a lot of back and forth and, oh, well, we're busy. We don't have a production crew to record. And it's just like, man, like, you know, so I feel like we're still dealing with struggles in terms of in all organizations. But as long as we make it a priority to, like, really take the time to put that time. And you know, I had to take a step back from my recruitment role and everything just to make sure that everything is planned in a right way. So I'm very excited to some of these events that we have coming up at NSCC. We have an elders panel next week on February 7th, and that's going to be shot at the Ivany campus in the theater.
Awesome.
We have an Ask a Black Entrepreneur, and I'm excited to say that T. Upshaw is one of our guests this year. So we're really
Firecracker
excited.
T. Upshaw. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, and and we have also a session with Danny Stone. He's going to come in and provide some motivation to some of our Black students and really get them fired up. And so we got a lot of really good things happening, and I just can't wait for us to continue to make a priority in the future to really work on making it a priority for us, you know, because at the end of the day, we have each other, and we have to really make that time to do things that's going to uplift our community, especially during Black African
Heritage Month. Yeah, absolutely. I totally can hear where you're coming from with that. If we don't plan our events, right, like it'll be half step or I don't know kind of thing. And so we become the experts of our own community and what we enjoy. And it's a thought out plan. It's not let's throw it together. Let's see what's left in the budget. No. Like not as first come, first serve thing. No, this is a priority. This is take precedence over you know, everything, and we don't have to wait till the last minute to do it. So,
exactly.
You know, next year, like, you already know what plans I want to do. And this year, we keep pushing through. Rather the budget's there, not fine, let's go find where we can get the money. Because, right, we need to celebrate this, like you said, right? So I have the pleasure of working for an organization that allows me to work, play, and live in my community and get paid for it. Right. Okay, so I'm really happy with that. That's awesome. But I also can share that with the kids when we go in front of them. Like, these are viable careers, and this is something you don't have to leave your community behind. You don't have to leave your heritage behind. You don't have to leave your identity behind. You can totally engage and emerge and empower your community at the same time. So I like that for that reason. And now that I have a taste for that, I want to find other organizations to partner with and collaborate with, and we all pool our stuff together, right? And shine all day, every day.
I want to jump in and maybe rumble something else up a little bit different. So we've been going kind of back and forth saying Black History Month, African Heritage Month. And I think there's something in that conversation too. Black History Month is usually what at a national level, right? We hear, and we here in Nova Scotia talk about African Heritage Month. And I think there's folks, we mentioned elders here, but like who've been around and who've been doing things, I think would have some interesting things to say in terms of kind of troubling the waters around that language, right? I mean, I'm in a generation that talks about Black in terms of political power, strength, empowerment, kind of, right, as coming through identity. And I'm also in a space that I'm able to be talking about African heritage, so kind of rootedness and where we come from. So I think it just would be interesting as well to kind of be thinking through, like, we don't have to embrace one or the other, so I don't want to say it that way, but where we're thinking and where we're kind of grounded in that, what does that mean in terms of the change that we're talking about?
Right.
It's, you know, here all the time, you know, rooted here, ancestry here in Nova Scotia, right?
Yeah.
In terms of our experience. So, you know, I'd be really interested in having a dialogue with folks who may enter into our call-in portion of the program and talk to us about, like, kind of,
902-455-5556. I think if I'm hearing you correctly, is what's the comfortable around the verbiage for Black or African heritage?
Yeah, I think, Nicole, that there's that part about comfort, about, like, kind of what rolls off your tongue, but also what does it mean? I mean, also partially for me is my world around, you know, policy and kind of civic engagement and that type of thing. And so what does it mean when we hear it? How do we hear it? How do we talk about it in this contemporary time and kind of in our history when we say Black History Month, when we say African Heritage Month? So we already know the month is, like, is not an accurate thing, but okay, so in the way that we understand our history and our contributions. But, you know, how are people understanding, you know, kind of, you know, that connection? And I heard Mick Edwards say a kind of a in there, so I'm going to invite him in for a comment on it.
No mind denomination, that is only segregation. You're an African.
As I think I mentioned earlier, there's an organization, I think I called them out, the library. So maybe that's what they were thinking about. It's not just a month. It's an ongoing thing. So because heritage is not a month thing. Heritage is a lifetime thing, right?
It's a culture.
So it is a culture. Black History Month is a time they can teach about the history, focus more on teaching about Black history, but I think I prefer the African Heritage Month more than the Black History Month, because Black History Month, when I think about it, I think about the U.S. That's what they celebrate, right? So here, you know, I think we do things a little bit different here. So there's an awareness now that I think it's building, which we can help to foster, right? It's getting there. There's still more work to do, but I think with our stories being told and not limited to just February, then I think that awareness and that change can happen. So that's just my thoughts.
I want to jump in because you make good valid points, but in hearing what you're saying, two things jumps to my mind.
Right.
So Black History Month, I'm comfortable with that. That's language I use all day, every day. That's language that my elders use or my grandmother used or whatever. And I'm black, and I'm very proud of that. Right. So I have no problem using that word. Some people may take offense to it. Right. That's them. Oh, well. But right. I'm comfortable with it. But African heritage also is more inclusive right. because we have African Nova Scotians. We have African, you know, of other descents, right? Right? And so it makes us all feel included as opposed to this single out kind of thing. So I can switch up, change up for whatever environment or whoever company right. I'm in to talk about that. But I'm very okay with the black.
Right.
Yeah. No. I'm black and I'm proud.
Exactly. And we all are, right?
Yeah.
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 I'll just jump in here, but I think I have respect for both. If people want to call it Black History Month, African Heritage Month, I think African Heritage Month speaks more to the purpose of kind of showing our heritage and we are here, we're still here in the province. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I also believe that both have a purpose, and I can definitely see from both sides. I do think when you say Black History Month, you're referring to, you know, people from Caribbean, people from America or Canada that have been here for a very long time, that at the end of the day, we all know that we come from African heritage, and that's who we are. But at the same time, I feel like it's a way to distinguish, you know, and I feel like, you know, some people are very passionate about where they're from, and you know, at the end of the day, we're obviously all from Africa. But I think that I like the idea of using African Heritage Month because you know, it's the roots, and it speaks way more from where we came from and like all the struggles that we had to overcome with our ancestors and whatnot, where, you know, Black history doesn't kind of cover all that. But yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting, and it's I've seen in the college that we use both. Right. We have like a hyphenated, you know, just for those who want to use what they want to use. But I've been saying African Heritage Month, you know, as we've been doing the planning, and just sounds right. Just sounds right.
Yeah. And it broadens things. Right? It broadens. Yeah. It really broadens things. It makes showcasing all of our culture. We showcase, and as you said, it really. I'm from Sierra Leone.
Yes.
Okay. Immigrated here and all that kind of stuff. Right. So when now they say African Heritage Month, not that when they said Black History Month, I didn't see myself in it, but when you say African Heritage Month, I can really dig into
right,
it.
Right, absolutely.
Right, because if I want to talk my Black history is different from your Black history based on what happened to us and based on how the dynamics were. Right, I did not experience a lot of the things that Black folks here experienced.
Right.
Right, because I grew up in all black, mostly 99% black folks, right? So that experience is different. But when we say African heritage, I can really, really get into this. I think neither is wrong. It's just that the way it plays out, right?
So neither is wrong. But here's the flip on that, because sometimes for a non-black person, for a non-African black person, to say to somebody in terms of what could sound like a correction, like you're not saying that right, it could be an insult.
That's right. Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And it's not an insult if you're choosing to identify with your blackness or your Africanness or whatever,
right.
But for a non-black person or non-African person to correct somebody in saying what they choose to identify with,
that's where I
kind of take a
the line there.
Yeah.
Took a quick break.
We'll be right back.
That got a Nina Salon kind of.
Come from.
Okay.
As long as you're a black man, you're an African.
Okay, that gets the topic
there
right
there.
You,
go, right?
You have got the identity of an African.
think that's so cool because like a couple years ago, I was really curious of the blackness that I have is from Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and right. Ghana specifically, and I think that that's so cool. And now, like I see it in a different light. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like I always have respect, but now I'm just like, oh, like I feel more welcome, and those are countries that I really love to visit. So
yeah,
I love that. I love that.
And that's the thing. I think that's the gap too that we're trying to bridge, right? Because this conversation has been happening. Because how I would like us to get to a place where we don't have to distinguish who is more African. Because we do that, right?
How do you do that?
So that's I don't have the answer. but then that's when the conversations happen, right? We all come together and try to discuss these things and see how best we can embrace each other. Because we have made a lot of progress in that. Because I know when I first came here, I felt like I wasn't part of the black community. Right, because I am from Africa,
mm-hmm.
you know. But now it's not said like that because I said now we are more intertwined. We engage each other more. We do a lot of things together. So now I don't feel like I'm not part of, because I used to feel like an outsider. Yeah. Like I'm trying. I really love. Like, man, these are my people. That's an Africa. You're from Africa,
mm-hmm.
right? So when if we get to that place where we because now they they force us to get to that place where we distinguish between each other. Mm-hmm. The definition of African Canadian or whatever African is different. Now there are three levels to it. Am I wrong? There's mm-hmm. one who was born here. There's one who came from there. Well, that's not what we really want, right? So we recognize the ones who are here, who we came here and met them here. We respect that and we honor that heritage, and we recognize them for that, right? So, but then at the same time, let us feel like we are one people. I've never seen a white man went somewhere and there's this white man over here. They call them white. From my country, where we come from, we don't really distinguish.
Irish, Scottish.
No, exactly. That,
man, you see, he's white. Yeah. Right? Finish, right? Yeah. So, you know, and I think that's what we need to get to.
Right.
Because they pin us up against each other with all these distinguishing barriers and these characteristics that make us feel like, you know, this one is different than this one, right? So, you know, those are my... something I'm passionate about, right? So
it's and you make such a great point, because all of us in numbers are so much stronger than, and of course that's what they want us to do, is to break down
and
divide. But I mean, when we come together, I mean, you look at the example, like look at what Canada did for the folks when Ukraine was going through the war,
right?
You know what I mean? Look how they all binded together, exactly. And you know, Ukraine, we're here for Ukraine. Right. All the flags everywhere. I went and drove around rural Nova Scotia. I'm like, you know what I mean? But they just see white, right?
It.
So it's, why can't we do that for each other? Exactly. You know, no matter who's going through what.
But you know, I was going to say, because I before COVID traveled a lot, and everywhere I go, honestly, I felt like home. I see people that would remind me of you. Some people from Barney on the street that I grew up on, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like they're all everywhere. We, no matter how much they try to dissect or break it down, the culture, the blood, it's very thick enough to keep it strong, right? Yeah. And recognizable. We identify, whether they recognize on the street, you do the same thing. Yeah. What's up? Yeah. How you doing?
I love that.
Yes. Hi. That's something that's been ingrained and that we're raised on. You know, you speak to people when you see them. You say hello. You say Mr. Hi, Mr. So and so. Like it's the respect given and hold your head up high and speak to people kind of thing. It's when it's then imparted on us not to do those things, right?
That's right.
But it's just in us,
it is.
Right? Yeah. It's just us. There's certain things that are just birthed in us, and so it's naturally it's comfortable for us to do that, right? So that's my perspective on it.
And that's what makes us really unique, I think, you know. And I see it in other cultures. I see it in other, you know, ethnic groups. The way they embrace each other. Like
go there, brother, go there.
The This is all that's, this is what we do, you know. So the way they embrace each other, the way they lift each other up, like I this is not been, this is not going out there yet, but because I grew up amongst like Lebanese people. Mm-hmm. When a Lebanese man or woman in Sierra Leone would not work for nobody. They come from Lebanon, they join their brother's business. 10 of them will stay in one house.
Right.
And in a year, they bought another house. And then 5 of them moved to the second house.
Yeah.
In another year, they bought another house. And then by the time you realize, all of them have own a home, own properties.
Yeah.
And they open their own businesses. Yeah. They don't work for nobody. Yeah. But it's because they have that system where they can help each other. Right? Yeah. So, and it has a lot of other ethnic groups that we can point to, but I think there's something that they've done to us as Black folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think that's the mental part that really needs to be deconstructed, right? Wherein we can really, we've come a long way with that, right? You know, helping and uplifting each other, but we could do more on that.
Well, systematically, I would agree with that, absolutely. But when I look at my family dynamics, like when we come together, you know, and there's a support there. But then there's also, if somebody imparts the wrong thought, if somebody, you know, is in their feelings or whatever, you know, then it's like me against them or them against me, right? Mm. But then it takes a wise person to come back and say, hold on, you guys. Mm. You know what I mean? Squash this, deal with that, you know, bring it back to whatever. This is not how mama raised you, blah, 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 right? Like, you know, we don't do that. But if you don't have somebody in that constantly remind you and all you do is being bombarded and beaten down, it does become a way of thinking, right?
Yeah.
So.
Jones, you got it?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I see the same thing with Iranian people from Iranians as well. They're very business minded, and I think the similarities like with Lebanon and Iran is like people from there they see themselves as like a support system, where this, like Margaret was just saying, they support each other, like businesses, whatever the case may be, selling cars. So yeah, I think for sure, it's a mental problem with us, but I see a lot of progress. I mean,
a lot.
Like last month, Syria and I went to support another Black business opener at Scotia Square. So it was a clothing line. So I do see progress with African and Scotians in general. I think we support each other a bit more nowadays than before. I mean, than when I moved here, for sure. And also another thing, like Edward said earlier, was like not belonging. I also like. Before I moved to Nova Scotia, when I was living in New Brunswick, I also felt like I didn't really have that African connection, like African-Nova Scotian connection. But, I mean, moving to Nova Scotia, it's a different story. I feel like because I even went to a conference last year where I was told, like, African-Nova Scotians have been here for, like, 400 years. I was like, whoa, I didn't know that. And I've studied, like, all this history.
Mm.
So, for sure, I think we're all a work in progress, and I think eventually we'll get there.
Well said. I just want to say thank you, Jones, McEdwards, and don't tell me Nicole.
I'm about to jump on.
I have to pop out because I have another meeting. But look, I look forward to coming back here and having these wonderful discussions. I think that this has been very productive and very powerful and inspiring. And I hope everybody has a great African Heritage Month. It's the first. It's going to fly by. So just savor the moments and do what you can to help and support your community.
Yes, sir.
Right.
One love.
Good to have you.
Speaking of one love, I'm going to go with my brothers in Jamaica.
We'll take a quick commercial break.
Yeah.
Javier, where's the
nice music? To see you. Come from.